Hello and welcome to the Marketing Study Lab with me, Peter S. I'll be your host and tutor for the day. So sit back, relax, and happy marketing, everyone. This is episode 3. If you build it, they will come. In this episode, what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at a trade association that's doubled its members in just under 5 years. What I'll also do is share my top keyword tip for any assignment. Plus, we'll take a look at a level 4 digital marketing assignment. But first, I'd like to introduce my guest, John Newcombe, who's the chief executive for the BMF, the Builders Merchant Federation. And amongst other things, we're going to be discussing how marketing has helped grow the trade association, the importance of digital in the merchant industry, and also why John would love to become a drummer. But first, what better way to start this interview than to ask John, what's his favourite work tool?
My favourite work tool, I would have to say, is a Sandvik 244 handsaw. And the reason for that is Sandvik was my first marketing director's job and was my first introduction into builders merchants. And that product is an iconic product for Sandvik and is still probably the number one selling handsaw in builders merchants. I was responsible for the launch of that product. So that would be my favourite work product.
And you own one?
Of course.
Moving on to your career, Can you tell us a little bit about the magic formula that's got you to be where you are now, chief executive of the Builders Merchant Federation?
I don't think there's a magic formula. I think it's a combination of choosing the right type of roles, the right type of background. My background is marketing, so I chose that as my functional responsibility and progressed from graduate marketeer to product manager, marketing director, then sales and marketing director, then managing director, then chief exec. So it's a classic career path. I think it's about hard work. It's about ambition, and it's about recognizing that you need very good people around you. So it's about teamwork as well.
And you started from an educational background in marketing?
I did a degree in history and international politics.
Wow.
I then joined JCB on a graduate training scheme and then decided I wanted to do an MBA. And I guess the reason I decided that is because I'd early on decided that business was my career and I wanted a specialised qualification in business studies. So the MBA at that time probably still is one of the most prestigious qualifications that you can get in business. I also think because I did my first degree at a polytechnic, in the old days of a poly, obviously there are no such thing as polys now, I wanted to see what it was like to go to a university. And that's one of the reasons I chose to do my MBA at the University of Bradford Management Centre.
Polytechnic, that's not a word we hear very often nowadays.
No, there's no such word, but everything's university, but polytechnics were more technical, slightly more technical. Basically, in those days, you know, if you got 3 A levels, you went to a university. If you got 2 A levels, you went to a polytechnic. So I had no choice at the time. What I did find, though, is there's absolutely no difference between the quality of education from a university to a polytechnic.
Right. Okay. Education important if you want to go into a marketing field, do you think?
I think it was. I think that's slightly changing. So, for example, we've just taken on an apprentice marketeer. So she's doing a sort of an 18-month apprenticeship program with us. So I think, yes, when I started out a university degree, I mean, most companies would not touch you unless you had a degree. Whereas I think that's changing now. And I actually think it's more important to get your marketing training earlier on. So I think, you know, marketing apprenticeship is a great way of doing that.
I think getting the right balance between actual practical application and theory is vitally important.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're doing with Hannah. You know, there's the academic bit, if you like, that she's doing, but it's the day-to-day hands-on, being part of a marketing department, being immersed in events like the one today that will teach her the basic skills of marketing.
Absolutely. So moving on to the actual Builders Merchant Federation, or the award-winning Builders Merchant Federation. Right, just a brief synopsis of what they do.
Well, we are a trade association, and we're very, very proud of that fact. We're a non-profit making organisation. We're a membership organisation, so we have 640 members made up of builders, merchants and key suppliers into the industry, and service members as well. And we have basically five core benefits. We're involved in training and personal development. It's absolutely number one and at the heart of what we do. We are a lobbying organisation. We provide business support services, health and safety, employment, and trade credit insurance, so a suite of business services. We also are the source of market data in the industry as well. So we provide basically five core benefits to our members.
And data massively important in a digital age.
Yeah, we've obviously, this interview is taking part at a supplier forum where data has been a very core part of that subject. I think our industry is changing, and we regard part of our role as the BMF is to make people aware of that change, to educate, if you like, suppliers and merchants of some of the new techniques that are available. So some of the courses, most popular courses we're running are around digital marketing, social media, search engine optimization. Now, 5 years ago, we wouldn't have contemplated running these type of courses in the BMF. So it's a changing world, it's a changing industry, and as a trade association, we need to be leading those changes.
Talking about changes and challenges, what challenges would marketers face within a merchant industry?
It depends on their background to some extent. If you're an FMCG consumer products marketeer, then you might struggle to come to terms with the fact that the pace is a lot slower. But merchanting, as I said earlier, is changing. And I launched a marketing forum here 5 years ago, thinking we would be lucky whether we would get 20 people in a room from this industry, because it's not an industry that's renowned for marketing. That is the most successful forum we run now, with anywhere between 80 and 100 attendees. And I think that is reflective of how marketing is becoming. It's changing, and the perception of marketing is changing. And I think both merchants and suppliers are waking up to the opportunities that marketing will give to a business.
I think in some instances, they might not have any choice. do or die, almost.
Exactly.
In some instances. So what do you think the future would be of digital within builders, merchants?
Well, again, the today's session has been dominated by various aspects of digitalisation, including listening to one of our merchant members, who was probably a traditional merchant, and really how they've changed over the last 5 years and how they've embraced the opportunities that digital brings. So there are two schools of the thought. It's either going to go away and they're frightened of it, and therefore they're trying to ignore it, or they're embracing it. And you know, my recommendation would be that the merchants need to embrace this technology. You know, their end users, their customers are changing. They're using their phone and their tablets on a regular basis. And I think unless a merchant embraces this technology, certainly within the next few years, they will get left behind.
Absolutely. 100% agree. You've got a marketing background.
Yep.
How has marketing helped the BMF evolve from what it once was?
Well, I tend to think an organisation takes on the mantle of its MD or chief exec. So, you know, if you have a finance guy running it, you tend to have more of a financial bent to the organisation. You know, if you have a production guy or technical guy running it, the organisation tends to be more technical. My background is marketing. Therefore, the BMF is intrinsically shaped around my background. And quite simply, if we as an organisation had not marketed ourselves as well as we have done over the last 5 years, we wouldn't have grown the membership of the trade association.
And how much has that grown?
So our membership has doubled over the last 5 years. So it's gone from 324 members 5 years ago to just under 650 members now. So we've doubled in size. And a lot of that is basic marketing. It's you know, finding out what our customers or our members want, shaping the organization using segmentation, market segmentation, to break the membership into distinct categories, whether that be, you know, plumbing and heating, roofing, and timber, and also on the functional side, running events like marketing and HR events for specialists within the industry, and then effectively just delivering to the members what they want out of a trade association, real basic marketing stuff.
Absolutely. So if somebody wanted to start a career in the wider construction industry, what advice would you provide them?
Well, again, it depends on the age of that individual. I mean, first of all, I've been in and out of the construction industry over the last sort of 25, 30 years, but really the last 5 years has taught me what a fantastic industry, particularly the building materials industry is. I think there are great career opportunities within our sector, you know, for logistics people, finance people, IT people, marketeers. I think the industry, we account for something like 6.5% of GDP. You know, the construction industry is twice the size of the aerospace and automotive industry put together. And I think government finally get the importance of construction in the, you know, the greater economy. So I think it's a fantastic industry to be in. And, you know, if you're a young person leaving college or university, there are apprenticeship programs available. We as the BMF provide training, so we don't necessarily need academic background. Having said that, there are merchants now who are running graduate entry schemes. So I think it depends on kind of your age and your educational background, but the key is that there's something there for you regardless of what your educational background is.
It's not just all bricks, blocks and mortar, far from it.
It isn't, no.
Now, we've spoken about marketing and digital and various other aspects,
yeah.
But I think it's important, or would you agree it was important not to forget that people buy from people, particularly in this industry?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked in different industries throughout my career, and I came from a retail background, so working with the likes of Tesco and Sainsbury's and Asda, and I've worked for the Kingfisher Group as well as part of my career. I don't think I've come across an industry like this one where people are absolutely at the heart of the industry. It you're absolutely right. People buy from people, despite the fact we're a large industry. Most industries, I always say, revolve around 50 to 70 key players within the industry. And I think if you can build relationships with those people and develop, you know, a trust, and they trust you, then that's part of the reason for our success is that we've identified who the key players are. We've built strong relationships with those key players. And, you know, I have personal relationships with a lot of the key MDs and chief execs in the organisations. I try and encourage my own people to do the same. So, you know, my marketing manager has to have those relationships with the marketeers in suppliers and merchants. But, yeah, it sounds a bit clichéd and a bit corny in the era of digitalisation, but people are still the single most important element of this industry.
I think it's you just cannot forget that. Mm-hmm. But in the same respect, you need some kind of vehicle to get to those people, and that's certainly what marketing and particularly digital can do on a larger mm-hmm. scale. Looking at your career as a whole, there must be at least one business moment or nightmare moment that you can reflect on for everybody that's listening.
I had a little think about this, and I haven't had a lot of time to prepare. I would say probably the most difficult part of my career is when I had to implement SAP into a business. We were a German-owned company. They insisted that we had SAP as our system, and it was mine and the team's responsibility to implement SAP into a business that really wasn't ready and wasn't prepared for SAP. And it was a nightmare 12 months. And I think it was a nightmare because we let customers down, because it affected deliveries. You know, our availability went from 98% to, you know, less than 70%. And, you know, I literally took calls every day from angry customers complaining about deliveries. So I think the lesson I've learned from that is I wouldn't implement an SAP system into a business of that size. It was a 30 million turnover business and it was too small.
And just for people that don't know what SAP...
It's basically an IT-based system, and it's a German IT system which is used by probably most of the multinational, certainly most of the multinational European businesses. But it's a system that works in certain environments and not in others.
And a nightmare to implement at some point. So moving on swiftly from nightmare to your favourite career business moment, one that stands out amongst them all.
I'm incredibly proud of what we've achieved over the last 5 years, because I think in business, it's a bit like taking over a football club that's the bottom of the Premier League. If you take over an organisation like the BMF, which clearly had great potential but was in a very bad place 5 years ago, I think you get a lot of satisfaction about turning that business round. So I think for me, my most favourite moments are where I've gone into a business which is an ailing business. So I was marketing director of Addis, which was a big, famous consumer durables business that had become very arrogant, lost market share, lost a lot of its retail distribution. And that role was about building that brand back up again and rebuilding that distribution. But I think it's, you know, your career is highlighted by, you should always leave a business in a better state than you find it, is my message. That's what I've always tried to do in my career.
Excellent. Just looking at the Builders Merchant Federation, it's grown and grown and grown over 5 years. You've been a massive part of that. How are you looking to engage with new members and also current members?
Well, we obviously engage on a face-to-face basis, as we've done in the forum that we've held here today, where we've had, you know, 80 of our members at this supplier forum. So personal face-to-face engagement is still the most effective form of engagement. But we've also invested heavily in our website and in things like social media. And we have to recognise there are some of our members that don't want to engage with us on a face-to-face basis and are quite happy to engage either via their phone or by their computer or via a tablet. So I think the investment we've made over the last 18 months in terms of a new website and a new CRM system is really about how do we electronically engage with our members as well as how do we physically engage with our members. So I think you need to do both in reality.
Something for everybody. Individuals and personalisation, really.
Yeah, exactly. And always never remember that businesses are people. You know, businesses are a collection of individual people. So it's all about, if you want to understand a business, you should start with the individuals that make up that business, first of all.
John, a big question, this one.
Yeah.
Is Brexit a challenge or an opportunity for your members?
Absolutely an opportunity. Well, it's both a challenge and an opportunity. I was a Remainer, and that's the decision I made, which I felt was right. Having said that, now that the decision has been made to exit Europe, then I think we have to get on with it and actually deliver the best that we can. I mean, Brexit, to some extent, is out of our control because it's politicians that will actually determine the end result. Obviously, we lobby government, so we work quite closely with people like the CBI. You know, we fed in our views into the CBI. But you also have to remember that, you know, our membership is made up of those people that voted to stay and those people who voted to exit. So, and we are, as a trade association, we have to remain impartial on the subject. So I think, you know, my message to all of our members is to focus on the things that are within our control. And that's, you know, the running of business, the ability to embrace change. And, you know, the reality is Brexit is just another word for another aspect of change in the market. You know, the beauty about being a little bit older is that I've been through, what, four recessions now, and a massive change in all of the, you know, all of those years. So Brexit is a business challenge that we have to overcome. And, you know, I'm confident as a country we will overcome it.
I think with all challenges, there's always opportunities for 100%, everybody. Just 100%. Depends the way they look at it, whether it's a positive view or a negative view, really.
And there's still people that you know, hiding under the duvet thinking it's not going to happen. And you know, my own view is it will happen. We don't know what format it will happen. But we have to just get on and, as I said, do what is within our control.
Okay, we're coming towards the end of the interview now, so I'd just like to run through some really quick, short, sharp questions.
Okay.
If you can answer these to the best of your ability.
Yep.
Name a must-read business book.
I would have to say Philip Kotler's book on marketing, because, if you like, that was probably one of the very first business books I read when I did my MBA. So, and, you know, I still make reference to that book, and I still think it's as valid today as it was then.
I think it just shows principles of marketing stay the same, although the vehicles that you implement them might be different.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What's your favourite app?
The BMF Stockist Search app.
Nice plug there. Do you want to just say that again?
The BMF Stockist Search app.
Excellent.
Because it was developed by us for our members.
And this might be a very similar answer, but what was the last thing you Googled?
That's a very good question. I can't even remember what I Googled.
Or what was the last thing you asked Alexa?
When is my wife getting home?
I think that's some really good sound knowledge there. What would be your ideal job if you weren't doing this one? What would you be doing?
Oh, that's easy. I would either be a musician, because I used to play drums in a band, but I'm actually secretly, I would love to be a lead guitarist in a band, or I'd be, I'd do some aspect of sport. I'd love to be a footballer or a rugby player. So it would either have to be a sportsman or a musician.
Excellent, but marketing comes first.
Absolutely, yeah.
Final question, if people want to know more about the BMF, where should they go?
Go to the website. So our website is www.bmf.org.uk, or they can contact me directly. My details are actually on the website. Every member of staff's email and mobile details are on the website. So go onto the website or contact one of the names on our website, and we'd be more than happy to help you.
Fantastic. John Newcombe, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
It was so interesting listening to John talk about an industry he's so passionate about. The takeaways I got from that interview were as follows. Regardless of the industry, marketing cannot be overlooked. John mentioned that the BMF run multiple forums over numerous disciplines, and the marketing forum is the most popular by far, and it should be embraced in the industry, particularly the digital side. But you can't forget the people. People buy from people, but it's the pre-sell and opening doors to make it easier to sell to your new customers that marketing can really help with. Follow the leader. An organization will be led from the top, and the growth in the BMF and its members is not only down to hard work, but also marketing at its core. And finally, segmentation that John spoke about, how the BMF segment not only by merchant type and member type, but by specialist categories such as HR and marketing, allowing them to tailor their messages and their communications to each individual target market to have more relevance. It's time to assign your time, where we take a look at a CIM assignment and where you should be focusing your time. So how should you assign your time to the July 2018 Digital Marketing Level 4 module? Task 1, question B. Discuss 4 benefits digital marketing activities can offer your chosen organisation. Well, where do we start? Because the benefits of digital marketing activities are practically endless. But what I would do is start with a lot of research. Read, look online, see how competitors are doing it, see how your own organisation is doing it. But in terms of the actual benefits that digital marketing can offer, if we want to talk about these specifically, then some examples might be a CRM tool, automation, personalised comms. It could be the coverage you get geographically, the cost compared to traditional marketing, the actual speed of interactions, the flexibility it provides you, and finally, the fact that digital marketing can act as a sales tool 24/7. My top tip for this episode is that you must understand the key or command words that feature in every task or question that you tackle via CIM qualifications. But why are these command words so important? In every CIM assignment, there will be a key or command word. And this key or command word acts as a prompt or a guide, so you should really take notice of it. Each command word is chosen to highlight how a question should be tackled. Let me just explain that in a little bit more detail. It's vitally important before you put pen to paper, or let's be honest, fingers to keyboard, that you understand what each command word means, how it will affect how you need to tackle each particular task or individual question. The command word sets the tone the CIM expect you to follow in your answer, but interpret it incorrectly and your answer may be way, way off target and way, way off what the CIM expect of you. So if you look at a couple of examples, this may help to explain it a little bit better. First example is, if you have a question with the command word evaluate, it would mean you're expected to tackle the question by appraising the value of a particular subject. You must consider its validity, reliability, effectiveness, and its applicability. The second example would be if you had a command word of describe. Giving an evaluation wouldn't be the right tone to set. You'd be expected to present a detailed account through writing clear descriptions of your reading, research, and findings. And that's how the command words differ. So it's really important that you get to grips with what the question is asking and work out what the command word is. Now, to help you, a set of CIM command words can be found using the link in the show notes. Read them. Understand them, and this will set you on the right path to acing any CIM assignment that's put in front of you. If you'd like to know more about what we do here at Marketing Study Lab, then just go to marketingstudylab.co.uk, and I'll see you there, or I'll see you on the next episode. Happy marketing.